Welcome everyone to this week's episode on Inquisitor's Odyssey. We're your hosts, Sam
and Tawanda.
And this week we're joined by an aspiring writer and poet, Tafara, where we'll be discussing an interesting topic, which is the idea of fixing the world. So Tafara, what do you think about fixing the world?
Fixing the world. If the world needs fixing, the obvious answer is yes, and then there's a less obvious answer, which is, can you? I think that's a more challenging thing to ask ourselves. Can you fix the world?
Yeah, I agree with that. But also, when we talk about the world needs fixing, we're obviously working on an assumption that it's broken, and maybe you find that not everything that's broken needs fixing, or if the problems are problems that can be fixed, that's the thing that we need to worry more about.
So in my opinion, I would say the world isn't exactly broken. There's a lot of things that we think is wrong, but then I feel like it will always be that way, because that is kind of in our nature, where I guess deceit and other malicious intent, it's not something that we can just get rid of or, you know, just fix. I feel like it's something that is deeply rooted in life. You know, like, you can't really strip away all the negative emotions or negative thoughts of people, which in turn result in maybe negative policies or negative interpretations when it comes to society. So I feel like the problem is something that is individual, and I don't know if that's something that we can fix instead of just accept.
Well, yeah, on the individual part, it gets a little tricky. And on the whether we can fix the world part, or whether we should, the should is kind of like it's a reflex thing. If you see something wrong that is happening in front of you, or that you are aware of, your humanity really doesn't let you just be like, something in you just jumps towards that, like, no, this, I can fix it right now. But also inherently, the very idea of existence will always allow for evil to exist. Like, can you imagine just all good, a heavenly existence when nothing goes terribly wrong? That the only wrong thing is an untied shoelace. I don't see that being realistic or something to even hope for. So the deeper question on can we or should we fix the world should always be brought down to a more individual level. Maybe not always, because there are things we can fix systematically, but the real crux is with the individual. That's how I feel about it.
Yeah, actually, I agree with both of you guys on this idea of the individual part of trying to fix the world. And I think it's baked into our nature that you see something wrong, you're going to want to fix it. But there's also the problem that maybe we are not the best equipped to be fixing these problems, because like you said, there are systematic problems that need to be fixed, but you find that those systematic problems are there because maybe we're on some level incapable of creating a perfect system. So the individual comes into play, because I've heard it once said before that you can't fix the world until you fix yourself. And we need to be very aware of the part that we play in all the problems that we see in the world around us. We need to be conscious of that before we can even start to think that we can take steps to fix the world.
Yeah, I really agree with that quote, which you said about you can't fix the world until you fix your bed, and which is, I think, quite important to keep in mind, because, like I said before, even those systematic problems that we see can't really be tackled unless, you know, unless an official is changed, or like when we try to change something in a system, we try to change the official, because it's their ideologies and their experiences that allow those systemic problems to continue to happen. So I don't know if anybody or if we as a society are capable of weeding out individual problems, or I don't know if we're able to fix everyone's house I feel like it's something that should happen on an individual level. And there's no guarantee for me to say that, oh, everybody will do their part. That's what I think.
I think it kind of tiptoes towards the nature versus nurture debate or discussion. And honestly, I don't know when it comes to that. I don't think there is a solid line when it comes to children to say which part of them, when it comes to children and such tendencies, we are picking the worst here. Let's say future serial killer or a little Jeffrey Dahmer baby. How would you know? If I go in the past, right, and I kill a little Jeffrey Dahmer baby, could you say I'm a bad guy? I would say so, because I'm like, you don't know when it comes to these things. You can use maths to try and understand it, but it is not a mathematical thing in its existence to say the child is natured up to this point and then nurtured up to this point. So this much of their killer tendencies goes towards the nurturing, and then this much towards the nature. You don't know. We don't have a definite answer to this. And to ask if whether society, which is part of the nurture, plays a role in how a child becomes, of course it does. You can test this easily. I wouldn't suggest it, but it has been tested that if you continuously, not tested directly, I wouldn't know, but if you continuously keep telling someone how terrible they are, it is going to become a part of how they talk to themselves. And when it becomes a part of how they talk to themselves, it is going to affect how they act. And in a way, funny enough, they start to act in such a way as you had condemned them for prior. I know this from personal experience, where if let's say you've had a rough part in your childhood and you're being treated a certain way, like a bad child, you start to act in such a way. It's a very funny concept. It's like it works the other way around we'd expect it to, where the obvious way is that the child acts bad, therefore the child is bad. So it's like a feedback loop, and we have no ways of actually drawing lines to say this is where nature starts, this is where nurture starts. This is where society starts to influence. Therefore, we must fix society to this degree, and then the child will be just fine. It's hard to say, but I still stand by this thought. We could create heaven, and there will be a murderer in heaven.
Yeah, I've always been someone who actually strongly believed in making systematic changes that I hoped would improve the world, improve the state of the world. But I agree that there are certain parts of our, let's say, human nature that make it almost impossible for us to live in, even under a perfect system. You may find that actually finding perfection in terms of human behavior, because that brings a concern of mine, which is a lot of people maybe have a conception of children being born perfect, right? And they think society is what has a corrupting effect on a child, and in which case when this child grows up to be a menace to society, I feel like there's a part of us that wants to believe that this child became that way because of society. But at the same time, we kind of hold these both beliefs that evil people are evil people, they are born that way, and yet at the same time we don't say that a child is born with problems or a child is born evil. So I don't know how to reconcile that and bringing it into this aspect of when you're looking at so many problems that we face in the world, we have the option to say, is the world the way it is because of problems pertaining to human nature, or is the world the way it is because we've made systems that are, because a lot of people, yeah, believe in this idea of this eternal power struggle, right, where those with power are constantly creating systems that favor them and then leaving everyone else to try to navigate through a system that's geared towards being advantageous to a small group of the population.
So the point you brought up about children and how we see it as society ruining a child and making them evil as adults, instead of acknowledging, I guess, the fact that some people are born evil. But I feel like when they're born, they may be born with tendencies to do something, but I feel like society plays a role in either amplifying it or reducing the the chances of somebody becoming evil or acting on those tendencies. So I still believe that children are somewhat innocent. They may have tendencies, but I feel like that's where parenting and societal norms kind of come into play in order to either amplify those tendencies and make them more, say, violent if they have a tendency to be violent or psychopathic. I don't know, turn into serial killers. But I feel like society does play a part in that, and experiences as well. It's as a child, when you're growing up, it's your experiences and who you interact with that kind of shape who you become decades or years from now. And those aren't so easy to control. I mean, you send your child to school, you send your child to, I don't know, camps or whatever, where they meet so many different types of people and they are affected by them. It might be a small amount of time that they spend with those people. And sometimes it's a lot of time that they spend away from their families and with people that their families don't know about or they just met. So I feel like those affect them more than we think. Tafura, what do you think?
I think I have one final thought on that, which is, picture this. Fixing the world could be equated to someone who changes their clothes without taking a bath, ever. And if they do, they only wash the parts which get to be seen. So, we could create a perfect utopia. Imagine it. Let's say it's possible, because there's no one to tell you it's not, real. Let's say it's possible. We create this perfect, beautiful world, but tomorrow, some child is going to be raised and is going to have psychopathic tendencies. And then that child is not going to be alone in that. There will be many people who will come into existence, many individuals who are going to be evil, to say the least. So the very individual who sits at the very seed of our systems and structures and all of that, if that will always be corrupt. And it's a very sad thing to say, because we have not known otherwise. Even in heaven, mistakes will happen. Even in heaven, someone will step on a banana peel. So you could fix the world, but how long is that going to last? Because someone is going to kill someone. Unfortunately, it will start small. Someone will insult someone. Someone will think terrible things. Someone will steal from someone, takes revenge, it escalates. So when we fix the world, what are we fixing exactly? The outside, we're just changing clothes? That's what I always hear when people talk about fixing the world. They're always addressing things that are very systematic, things that are out there.
Yeah, I see where you're going. And we might benefit from trying to deal with those two aspects of the nature or nurture side of it, if maybe we try to deal with them as separate entities, and we might be able to find a way to bridge that gap between the problems that are inherent in humans. Because like you're saying, we would probably have a murderer in heaven, because something in our nature may make us susceptible to some humans being murderers. And if we're saying it's in heaven, it'll be a theoretically perfect system. And on the other hand, an important question would be, when we look at the world right now and we say maybe this world needs fixing, both systematically and also on an individual level, I sometimes feel like we have an awareness problem with that, in the sense that maybe not enough people are paying attention to the fact that we do have a lot of problems that need to be fixed. I think a lot of people see the world as being much better than it is. And that comes from a kind of passive acceptance of you being born into this world, and from a very young age, you're spoon-fed this world as it is, and you're told that that's the way it is, that's the way it's always been. And we gravitate towards this kind of thinking of, is the way it is because it's supposed to be that way. And that confusing the way the world ought to be and the way the world is something that plays a large part into how much effort we put into trying to address all the problems.
I would agree that there is an awareness problem per se, but at the same time, I feel like there's a way that people kind of deal with the problems around the world, which is to just think on the positive side, which is understandable because it feels really hard to follow all the bad things that happen around the world. Like if you just see all the bad things, like if you just switch on the TV and you watch the news all the time and you just sit there, they're always reporting on what's going wrong with the world, like everything that's going wrong across the world. You just hear about it in the news. And I also feel like as an individual, that is not a way I would expect most people to live their life. Like, it's nice to have that awareness, but it can also cripple you to make you think that the whole world is on fire and that every second there's something going wrong, which there is. But I feel that living your life in that way could be unappealing for most people, and I feel like that's understandable. And I agree there has to be some level of awareness if there is a chance that people could actually come together and help. But that is also connected to the individual level of responsibility or a sense of responsibility that they have, which I feel is not easily managed by society.
You guys kept bringing up the awareness problem. I don't think we have an awareness problem in this world. Even in the medieval ages, I'm pretty sure people did not have an awareness problem. Someone knew that somebody was beating their wife. This is not something you get told and be like, oh my god, how is that even possible? You know. So I don't think the awareness is the problem. So yeah, maybe more of a, how can I put it? It's very tricky because the question kind of puts you in a, kind of splits your legs a little bit. On one hand, it's like, where it's asking you, do you think we should fix the world? Yeah, hell yeah. Do you think we should fix the world? What's gonna happen? We're not really gonna fix it. All that's gonna happen is that we are just going to change its clothes. That is all that has been happening throughout the ages. Take, for example, the show Black Mirror. This is what the creators were showing. This is what I got, where they put an advanced system, an advanced technology into the hands of people as they are now. We will misuse it. I will keep coming back to the heaven. You could put us in heaven and someone is going to beat someone to death with a chalice. I hate to say it, but this is the most likely thing. This is the trend. This is what we see. This is how humans have been. So it kind of puts you at that split. Yes, it is definitely better to try and create a paradise because you can't just watch these things happen. But I think this is where you start to practice a little bit of where you can hold two contradicting ideas, because sometimes the truth is like that. Sometimes the truth doesn't care about being linear in your mind. The truth will be whatever it is. And the truth is, I don't think we are going to be able to fix the world. Doesn't mean we shouldn't be trying to make it better. We might not be able to fix the world, but if I see someone kicking their dog, you know, so it's like we're going to stay split in the middle. But to give a more hopeful view, I think the hermits have a point. Like, the world is on fire and these guys are chilling in the mountain, fetching water, building their houses, making a garden. Have you people ever wondered, like, are they stupid? Have you ever asked yourself, like, are these people stupid that the world is going aflame and they're chilling up a mountain? Like, how come we never talk about that? That they such people that are like, and these are people we have always considered wise. How come we never talk about, okay, we are busy here fighting, struggling, and we have been doing this for millennia, for as long as human history has been, but yet there have always been these people who are just chilling. The same people that the hippies tried to copy.
Okay, so first of all, to what Sam was saying, that no one wants to live a life where you're just always on the news, you're seeing all this bad stuff that's happening around the world. And I think to that, Noam Chomsky once said, if we want, we can live in a world of a comforting illusion. And that's pretty much what I felt like you were describing, or at least as something that some people might want. And the problem with that is, yeah, sure, you can not go on, because a lot of people find that social media is a lot of negativity, and you go on the news, they're just preaching doom and gloom, and you find that, you know what, right, I don't want to see that anymore, I don't want to be exposed to that constantly. And yeah, sure, that can be a solution for you, but then what happens when that hits you in the face, right? Something like climate change. You could act like you don't know that we're slowly marching towards the worst nightmare that any filmmaker can create, right? A world where it's gonna be hot, we're gonna have floods, hurricanes, tornadoes, all sorts of natural disasters, food shortages, and you could just act ignorant of that until at some point it will hit you right in the face, and then you're faced with that and you can't pretend to be surprised because you chose this path where you avoid seeing all of these bad things. Because you can paint a picture of a world that's good, you know, you look at all the positive news and you say, yeah, you know, good things happen, you read about entrepreneurs being successful, people winning the lottery or whatever, and you create this delusional image of a world that is good. And then one day you're walking on the streets and a homeless guy grabs your phone and stabs you in the stomach, because life is going on for everyone else and that catches up to you. And the other thing, maybe on some level people aren't unaware of what's happening around the world, but maybe sometimes people feel powerless, or I don't want to say it's apathy, because then that just paints people in this bad light. You know, your neighbor is beating his wife and you just sit there and you think, well, what can I do about it? Or, well, that's their business, right? Let them handle it. But yeah, I think the hermetic life, I've always been fascinated by that. You know, it's something that I wouldn't mind at least trying. But you can't run away from the world's problems. I remember someone saying, if you've got a leaking tap in your house, right, and it's, you know, that dripping sound and it's annoying, and you decide, well, I'm just gonna leave the house, you walk out, that doesn't solve the problem. The problem is still there. That faucet is still leaking, whether you're in the house hearing it or you're outside not hearing it. And staying in the mountains, it's a bit selfish, but also just maybe you kind of tricking yourself into acting like all these problems are not there just because you can't see them. Because like you said about that person who knows that someone out there is beating his wife or whatever, you know these bad things are happening out there. You know that innocent children are starving to death or being killed in wars or being kidnapped. You know all of that is happening, and you can be in your mountains away from everyone else, but that doesn't stop what's happening from happening.
Okay, so my idea was that not watching the news because it's all doom and gloom, it's kind of a way of dealing with the sheer amount of negative things that happen around the world. I wasn't suggesting that as a way of fixing it per se, but I was just saying that I understand if people are intentionally keeping themselves away from consuming the content on social media or news because it's all doom and gloom, because it can be hard to come to terms with the fact that there's so many bad things happening across the world, like in an instant, in one point in time, that there's so many things that are happening that are just terrible. And like you said, if you just watch people winning the lottery or entrepreneurs being successful, it gives you a false narrative of how the world actually is. But also continuously just watching the news also gives you the false narrative that it's a bad thing. And even then, that media that you're consuming is also biased to some extent. So even then, you don't really know what people are trying to accomplish by showing you all the doom and gloom and things like that. So you have to stop and question, and also sometimes just look for a new perspective to give yourself a fuller picture of what's going on around the world. And like you said, I agree that it's that sense of powerlessness that kind of makes people that are already aware not act on that awareness. Because, yeah, you might think, I'm just one guy recycling every single day, but then there are corporations that are dumping toxic stuff into the ocean or whatever. So you just feel this, you just have this feeling of insignificance when it comes to battling huge problems of the world. And that part you said about trying to be a hermit, yeah, I guess that could work. It's selfish, but it's understandable because you just get one life, and if they just want to spend it living with their own group of people, just, you know, enjoying life, I don't know if there's any blame that you can put on them for not trying to fix the fire that they didn't even create.
Just to give a little touch back on the hermits there, I wasn't meaning exactly to imply that they are wrong. I just think people, as people, we should be talking more about this. How come no one ever wonders how the world can be on fire and someone can be chilling? Not in a way where you can point at them and say, ah, that person is evil because they're watching this happen. It's a little different. It's a difference in quality. Because the hermit approach, from what I have seen and heard and read about, it's more in a sense of, how do I put it? The same way that a wave comes and goes and the ocean remains is the hermit way of life, in a way, where the world could literally go on fire and a revolution of revolution, the mother of revolutions, could happen and it still wouldn't matter, because an eternity later, that never happened. Barely, that was a blimp. So from a hermit's perspective, they are more looking at the whole as the whole, eternity as eternity. And we are looking at right now, trying to fix our life right now for the future generation, who is going to be forgotten by the future of the future generation. Eventually, everything gets buried. To the layman, it can sound like a very hopeless point of view, like a very dead, dreary, blah, doom and gloom type of thing, but to the hermit it freed them. Such a thought, such a concept somewhat freed them. Because I'm just thinking, like, what if everybody just learned the hermit way? Personally, I don't think it will work like that, because I'm like, okay, if we're gonna learn the hermit way, first off, there's a couple of people we need to kill off. That's just me though. There's a couple of people that just need to go, you know. There are people who is like, no, 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 here we're not doing the whole morality thing of saying, oh no, we must be nice and rehabilitate. There's people that need to go, okay? But I think we should slowly, slowly start to learn something from these people. Slowly, I say it because someone who's in a terrible situation does not want to hear about any meditation. If I am hungry and you are coming to me talking about Om, I'm going to eat you. You are my next meal. Thank you for that. Then I'll say Om after. So yeah, on the hermit thing, I think let's keep an eye out. While we are busy fixing the world, let's keep an eye out. This is what I meant when I say that it's always going to keep your legs split open. On one hand, you are trying your best. It's pulling you. You got to fix this. On the other hand, it's like, this is actually stupid. Trying to fix all these things is actually kind of redundant. It's like bashing your head into the wall, only to your detriment, just for the sake of putting a dent.
My admiration of the hermit lifestyle, I think, is just this ability to find a center of peace in the middle of a storm. Amidst all that is wrong in our society, being able to, like you said, you know, up in the mountains, going down to the stream or the river, you fetch water, you go back up, you chill in your cabin or something like that. And we might be able to learn from that. A lot of our problems come from people, it's just my opinion, caring too much about things that aren't really such a big issue, you know. On some level, it's like we care too much, but maybe we care about the wrong things. I'm sure you've heard issues of people being shot over parking spaces or someone chasing someone down and beating them up because they cut them off in traffic or whatever. And that anger that maybe that person feels at being cut off in traffic, I feel that same kind of anger when I think of the fact that around the world there are probably billions of animals that are being kept in tiny little cages, being raised for someone to feast on them. And there are people out there who are dumping, like you say, toxic chemicals into rivers and whatever else we're doing to contribute to our world being in the state that it is in. And yeah, I feel like in that case, it's misdirected anger. And part of me feels like that comes from either a problem of us feeling like fixing the world is someone else's problem, or maybe we're powerless to do anything. Because I think a lot of people are perfectly fine with, you know, sitting back, allowing the billionaires, rich philanthropists and NGOs to do the hard work of trying to fix the world's problems, because everyone just thinks, well, I could recycle, or I could go vegan, or whatever else I would do, and it wouldn't make much of a difference in the grand scheme of things. But at the same time, I feel like it probably would, because it's not necessarily about your singular impact on reducing the carbon footprint, but there's also the aspect of you inspiring the next person to actually care about those things, to actually take a step towards trying to improve the world we live in. Because yeah, we can become hermits, just isolating yourself from the world, and that could maybe improve situations for individuals not being so affected. And that might create a feedback loop, you know, if we're not so greedy or selfish or afraid of the unknown and all of that, then maybe then we might be able to create better systems and start a loop that might bring us closer to this whole goal of trying to fix the world.
Just to jump in a little on the whole hermetic thing, it's a topic of great interest to me. I find those guys very interesting, you know, very interesting. Because I read this story about one Zen master, forgot his name. Some guy, I assume it was some American guy, was looking for a Zen master to teach him meditation, living in the now, losing the self. So he went up a mountain, traveled greatly, because he heard about this master. And he approached a little garden with two gardeners working. One guy was actually just chopping wood. The other was doing the gardening. And he asked for the direction from the first guy who was doing the gardening. And didn't answer him. And then he asked the guy who was chopping wood. He says, "Where's master? Insert name here." Then the guy who was chopping wood, what he does is that he takes his axe, puts it on this guy's neck, our American fellow, and is measuring him. And he tells him something along the lines of just like that, chopping wood, you know. So this guy gets a little intimidated and scared, and he's also flabbergasted. He's wondering, what the hell is that? I just want directions, man. But then he continues and he finally finds the temple where the master stays. When he gets there, he finds some guy sweeping. He asks the guy, "Where is master? Insert name here." And he's like, "You just left him. He was chopping wood. He was the guy back there." And apparently in there, our American fellow learned a great lesson from the hermits about, how do I put it? It's a very hard thing to put into words. Probably why this master did not come and tell him, to meditate, you must sit down and hum this mantra and clear your mind. When he was chopping wood, he was simply chopping wood. So these are concepts that we can literally just apply here. We don't need an actual mountain to be a hermit. And now on the subject of being a hermit here, most people mistake the whole thing for escapism. That's a different thing. Escapism is what we do. Like, for example, to escape from my own issues, I'm going to obsess over fixing something in the world. This is why I think it's important to stress that whole cliche of cleaning your room before fixing the world, because you can't even clean a dirt corner in your room and you're out there trying to fix this complex thing. I'm not going to trust you to do that. We are escapists. We do this, we escape, we have TVs, the biggest TVs, we have laptops, we have social media. we are very much escapists. And when we feel like the news is too much or too negative, hermit mode, although it's more escapist than hermit, because, you know, it's not an honest step towards that. So yeah, that's my closure on the hermit thing.
And that brings us to the end of the first half of this two-part special. If you haven't already, be sure to follow us on Instagram and Twitter to stay up to date with all show-related content. Be sure to join us next week as we continue this interesting discussion. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll catch you on the flip side.